20 years ago, somebody would have told you that in 1974 you'd be introduced by a senator from Mississippi as a congressman from Georgia at a presidential prayer breakfast. What would you have said?
I would have said they were crazy. I mean, and that would have been 1954. That was before the Supreme Court decision. We couldn't even vote very well in the South. It was not long after that that my younger brother came back from the Navy, where he'd been a lieutenant. He's a graduate of Howard University's dental school. He passed the state dental examination and went around the corner in the courthouse to register to vote, and they told him he flunked the literacy test. That's what it was like in the South.
Where?
This was in New Orleans.
Progressive city of New Orleans.
Yeah. Now, Atlanta was a little better than that. But in 55, I went to Thomasville, Georgia. And one of the first things I did there as a pastor of a little church was try to organize a voter registration drive. And I guess it was just about 48 in that town, a black man had tried to register. And he was lassoed on the courthouse steps and tied to the back of a pickup truck and dragged around the black community until he was dead. And then he was cut loose again in front of the jail, where he was left to die. And he was dead by that time. In 55, when I tried to run a voter registration drive, the community, Thomasville had a lot of northern presence in big plantations. Eisenhower used to come down there to shoot quail. Secretary Treasurer Humphreys had a plantation. The northern influence kind of quieted down that sort of overt violence. And they would let us register, but there was a big Klan rally the night before we were supposed to have the beginning of our voter registration drive. Interestingly enough, the man I asked to come down and speak for that voter registration drive was Maynard Jackson's grandfather, John Wesley Dobbs, who was instrumental in filing the suits, the Primus King case, that put an end to the Democratic white primary in Georgia, and led to, amongst other things, the beginnings of voter registration in the big cities of Georgia through the Masonic lodges. That also was the period in which Ellis Arnold was governor, and we got the 18-year-old vote. And that that moved Georgia ahead. I think that's one of the reasons that we are now a little ahead of the rest of the Deep South. See, North Carolina was the liberal state then, but folk never got around to organizing politically in North Carolina. Georgia was the headquarters of lynching, and blacks knew that they had to turn to politics to survive. And it was a life. Voting was understood in Georgia very early as a life and death issue, whereas in more liberal to moderate North Carolina and Virginia, that wasn't perceived back in the early 50s nearly so well. They're just beginning. In fact, North Carolina's blacks are just now beginning to wake up politically, you almost think. I have a tendency to feel that they're behind Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina. That's in spite of the fact that they've elected Mayor Leitner. I think every other state has had a long history of statewide political organization. And I don't know about any in North Carolina.
There isn't any.
I suspect one of the reasons is that there were always some white liberals you could trust. And in the long run, that proved to be a detrimental factor, because there was always, you know, a Frank Graham or who's the Sanford. A long stream of guys that, whereas we were dealing with an early Gene Talmadge, who was really horrible, and Marvin Griffin and Lester Maddox.